Well, good morning, Oakwood Community Church. That's great for 9 o'clock. It is a privilege and an honor to be before you this morning. My name's Roger Sovis. I'm one of the elders here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, please come up and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you. Many of you, and PD mentioned it's his 10-year anniversary, and when PD came along, he came up with this motto, growing a great family, grounded in faith, guided by grace, and going in love. And many of you have found Oakwood in a different way. Some of you have found us via the website. Some have been driving by, seeing the sign time and time again, and being convicted to join us. And one gentleman actually was being followed by PD and went in a ditch, and PD helped him out, and he joined us, right? Yeah, and others of us just really take that choice of our church for our families seriously. And that happened in September when a gentleman, connected and we met with him. We had lunch with him. We talked to him many times. And actually the last Sunday in January, he and his family visited. They visited here and sat in service and everything. But then on February 5th, he sent this email to myself and a couple of the other men here. He said this, "Thank you for all your efforts. You have been very encouraging, friendly, and kind to my family. The diligent work you've done is commendable and humbling. Our prayers have been that God would give us peace and clarity. At this point, God has not given us peace or clarity. We have spent a considerable amount of time thinking about the strengths of Oakwood's fellowship and the incredible potential for growth that the church obviously has. A newcomer should realize the great opportunity to serve alongside the people at Oakwood Community Church. I want to be clear that I think you are a great church. However, as much as we recognize the potential, God has not given the peace or clarity that I am the right man for your church. It has been difficult to come to this point of decision. I've been taught from early on this principle, if you do not know, you cannot go. My wife and my family have proven that they will follow me anywhere in ministry as long as I know it is God's direction for us. It is with a measure of sadness that I remove my name from consideration." So, this is the point we reached on February 5th. And Jim Bongiorno will tell you, he said, "What do we do now? He's not coming." I said, "No, he's coming." And I was thinking in the back of my mind, he just doesn't know it yet. So, anyway, we got together, we talked, just decided since I was the first person to speak to him in September that I'd give him a call. So I give him a call and the gentleman gets on the line. "Yeah, I just don't have peace and clarity. And this timeline is just so quick." I said, "Stop. Don't worry about the timeline." And immediately, in a nanosecond, what came to mind was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it was the Spirit that told me, I believe it. And I didn't even think through in a time frame of the actual verse. What does it say? "Trust in the Lord in all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths." So I said to this gentleman on the phone, "Let's do this. Make a decision. Let's set a date that it will take effect. I don't care if it's 2 weeks or 10 days. Let's just not make it too long. And why don't you and your family pray, and we will pray here, and let's trust that your decision is right, and if not, let's trust that God will intervene in a sovereign way." Well, I'm pleased to say that 9 days later, on February 14th, we received this email. "Hello, men. After much prayer and discussion, we have decided to continue the process if the search committee and elders also agree. The extended time to contemplate this decision was invaluable to us. Signed, Don Jackson, Director of Student Missions, Vision for Youth. So you see, PD was not listening to the Holy Spirit, despite just preaching about it. I had to tell him to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm saying. So on Easter Sunday, April 5th, 2015, PD preached his first sermon as our new lead pastor. And since then, we have been growing a great family, grounded in faith, guided by grace, and going in love. And I just want to share with you, PD, something you didn't know. This was our ideal candidate profile that was developed in March of 2014 before we knew you existed, okay? So keep in mind, track record of speaking to large groups, check. Track record of developing leaders, check. Proven ability to equip others to do other ministries, including evangelism, check. A relationship builder, works well with others, check. Ability to create successful community partnerships and outreach, check. The spiritual gifts and skills, teaching and preaching. Hey, I don't know, what do you think? Evangelism, check. Pastor, shepherding, check. Leadership, vision casting, check. I think the next one specifically speaks to the fingerprints of God. Keep in mind, the way this process worked is as the chairman of the search committee went forward to the elders with a series of questions. Individually, they answered them, sent them back to me. I compiled them, created the ideal profile, sent it back to the elders for approval under Jeff Taunton's direction. And this was a summary of the personality and character traits. This man is caring. He has a solid and consistent prayer life, spending time in the Word. He has life experiences that have taught him lessons that can be shared, and he is willing to share them. He is tough, yet gentle. He is a man who leads men. He has the humble persona, demeanor, and character that allows him to naturally inspire others to follow Christ and live our lives as intended. Is that PD or what? Right? Give him a round of applause. Now, with every good news, there's a little bit of bad news. Now, we had some bonus traits in there. And I'm sorry, PD, you didn't hit them. But we forgave you because you drive Harley Davidsons, okay? So here's two that were really submitted by the group. He has a shotgun and can skin a deer with one hand tied behind his back. Now, the man who's afraid of dogs and cats just is not going to do that. And this one I love. He can whistle the Star Spangled Banner after running the quarter mile in 56 seconds and after eating a full sleeve of saltine crackers with nothing to drink. I don't think he got that one either. But during your ministry here, PD, there's some great accomplishments. We've remodeled most of the building. I mean, we've got a coffee cafe out front. Not to mention, we get to drink coffee in here now. And there's no carpet, right? Right, all right. And the worst, you know, we've got a new sound system today, not to mention that, which sounds fantastic, by the way. I love it. The lower level. And this here, leading us through the uncharted waters of COVID and preaching through COVID and preaching to paper faces on the chairs, right? You did that so well. And then one more importantly that shows his involvement in the community and being an example to us and leading us through it was the Oxford shooting. You did a fantastic job in leading us and showing us what it's like to be Christ-like in a fallen world. So we thank you for that, PD. He's conducted 21 funerals, many with very special people, 25 weddings, including two of his daughters, right? All right, he promoted the band of brothers, and definitely SOS, 154 baptisms. Now, we got a note here, okay? Is there anybody out there ready to be baptized? Because five of those he didn't do, and he's at 149. If we can squeeze one in this week, he'll get 150 even by a year, right? 222 new members. 10 birthdays. This is the personal stuff. 10 birthdays, 10 wedding anniversaries. So you're a little bit older now. Two high school graduations, Emily and Josh. And, of course, two weddings with Caitlin and Curtis and Emily and Jacob. And the most important thing, a granddaughter, Eloise. So, PD, why don't you come on up here? I've got something special for you. So, PD, first I just want to tell you I love you. We love you. We appreciate you. And there's a couple. Today is just the beginning, by the way. Today is the beginning of a celebration. And we have a special gift. Now, a little birdie told us that you and your precious bride over there, Julie, would like to do some traveling out west. Is that correct?
Yes, we would like to go out west.
I'm glad you didn't try to grab the mic, because I was told by a pastor a few weeks ago, don't let another pastor or somebody like Rod McLean take the mic or you'll never get it back. So anyway, what we have here, we've arranged for you through your good pastor friend, Doug Schmidt, a week in a condo in Colorado. We're giving you 2 extra weeks paid vacation, so you have time, and there's plenty of gift in here for you to make a choice, okay? Now, you have options.
It's a game show. Yeah. I feel like a game show. Almost behind curtain, too. No.
So, your options are, you have plenty in here to decide if you want to fly to Colorado, or if you want to rent a car and drive, or a camper and camp along the way and back, or option 2. Option 2 is you have plenty of gift in here for your choice of any coffee in the world for the rest of your life, every day of your life. Now, this is tough. I don't know which one you're going to take.
Oh, yum. I'll get back with you next week. No, we'll go out west and I can pay for the coffee. That's okay.
All right. Well, here you go.
Don't leave.
If I could ask Julie to come up here and the elders, we would like to pray over both of you during this time. And also, this is just the beginning. I want to let you know that for the annual celebration, we're going to have the big PD celebration. So all of you will get to participate between now and June at the annual celebration. We're going to put the big tent up, have a big barbecue, and do things like that. And we have a photographer here today that's going to take photos not only of what's going on now, but of your entire family, so you have a family photo of today's event.
I love it. That's good.
All right? So, gentlemen, let's pray for our pastor. I'll begin. We'll go around, and if Ted, you will close. Almighty God, we are so grateful for your grace, for your mercy. And to look back today, 10 years, and see the fingerprints bringing PD here before us as our lead pastor. Even before we knew he existed, you did that. You orchestrated this through you, through your Holy Spirit. And we have been so, so, so blessed, Lord. We thank you for that. And we pray that your hand will continue to be upon PD and Julie as they serve together, because we know each man needs a good woman behind him to support him, to encourage him. And they have done a fantastic job together being our leaders here at Oakwood. So bless them for it and help us lead to reach this lost community for Jesus Christ.
And Father, we do thank you for bringing PD here to Oakwood 10 years ago, and watching his life evolve through these past 10 years with his family, with this church, Lord, and so many new things. And we appreciate his vision. And we look to the future, Father. We are thankful that he will lead us in the next stage of development of Oakwood Community Church, Lord. We're excited for what the future holds. We thank you for all they've done. We thank you for Julie and her hand upon that as well. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, you tell us all about the spiritual gifts and how important perseverance and spontaneity and energy and caring are. And PD has not only shown it, demonstrated it, but given it to others as we've gifted him this time away. We know that he's the Energizer Bunny, but he needs some downtime and he needs to recharge. And we pray that he and Julie will take that time seriously because we need him. We need him whole and we need him who he is to best guide us again. Amen.
Father God, I'm so thankful for you bringing us somebody who can lead us and show us how to be effective. And I pray that this is a moment in time where PD and Julie can take a pause and reflect on how effective they've been with us and as a congregation, how we can reach others for your name. I'm so glad that family is here around to just be able to celebrate this time too, because I know it takes a family and not just an individual. So Lord, thank you for all you provide.
Dear Father, we're just so thankful for PD and for Julie and how they minister to people, not only in our church, but even in the community, at the school cafeteria and throughout the community, and people that go in the ditch. And Father, just people that are around, even in Ortonville and Oxford and the various areas. And we thank you for the many lives that have been touched through their ministry over these years here at this community. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to use them. We just thank you and praise you for their giftedness and just being willing to lay that at your feet and to be used of you. And we thank you for the gospel preaching and for the lives that have been saved and for just your word that has gone forth. And we just so thankful, Father, for just truth and how you use them through the power of the Spirit to work in people's lives through the word and through even their interactions and attitudes and how you use them, Father, from day to day. We are so thankful for the lives that have been changed and the influence that they've had for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm Doug Schultz, one of your other elders. We thought as an elder group it wouldn't quite be right to have Don preaching his own service here today. So, and we thought it was important to have a pastor's perspective on what it's like to teach and to serve and to serve within this community. So I'm going to bring Wally Rose up. Wally was a pastor of mine in Hadley. Both he and Don have served in this community and known each other. Wally's spoken here before, so he may be a familiar face to a few of those. But Wally's currently serving as a chaplain for Mid-Michigan Hospice and Covenant Health, and just a great personal friend of mine. So, Wally, thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you. I don't need that. Well, I have so many thoughts going in my mind right now, and I am struggling to gather them. I love coming to a church when people recognize that you're going to fill the pulpit for that day, and I can see disappointment in eyes. And it's not even personal. It's because your pastor is such a great preacher of the Word of God. I listen to him often. I'm just spitballing here, so just bear with me for a minute. When we sang that first song, what's it called? The opener.
Fall on My Knees.
Fall on My Knees. This is how my mind works. I have friends all over in different denominations of Christianity, and I literally was thinking to myself, I wonder how my Presbyterian and Lutheran friends would sing this song in church today. I couldn't, and then I began to worship the Lord. I really did. But I want to say this. I have admired your pastor for many years. I pastored at Hadley Community Church, and I began in about 2012. And one of the highlights of our church's calendar was winter camp. And our kids, our youth group, would go up to Camp Barrakel. And they always chose the same speaker. And I remember couples coming to me. I remember the Craners coming to me. I remember the Schultzes coming to me. I remember the Vaughns coming to me. And they're like, you've got to meet the speaker at camp. He's amazing. The kids love him. We think you would really like him. We just really want you to meet him. Well, as a pastor, I didn't get to go to camp very often, but about two and a half years in, we decided, hey, I'm going to go up to teen camp or winter camp, and I'll be able to meet the speaker that the youth group loves so much. And we went up to camp, and I sat through a few of the preaching sessions, and I hadn't met the speaker yet, but I really liked his mannerisms. I loved how he was very passionate with kids and was open and just gave them the word of God through a heart of love. I really appreciated that. And then I met Tom Harmon. It was PD, just so you know. I came probably a year or two ago, and PD was out of town, him and Julie. I don't know where they were at, but on the screen, he gave this glowing, wonderful introduction, and I have not ceased to be hurt from it. The introduction was, you're going to love the speaker. He loves the Lord. He loves people, all these different things. And then he said, and that's Doug Schmidt, and he's preaching next week. But this week, we have Wally Rose. I have never forgotten that. You dirty dog. I've woke up in the middle of the night crying because of that. I'm kidding. Let me say this. Elders and church family, thank you for loving your pastor and his wife. It's a unique thing, this idea of being a pastor. You need to be secure in your heart that this is where God wants you to be. And obviously from what we learned from Roger, Don and Julie weren't settled. And the Lord needed to continue to turn their hearts over and to show them what he wanted for them. But you have dreams and you have aspirations, and you need to have a vibrant walk with the Lord, and you're challenging other people to do it. And it is an amazing thing. What time are we done here this morning? I think there's two services, but I appreciate that. I don't think anybody else will. So I'm going to cut out a few things and leave them for the next service, but I want to share, by way of just a little bit of introduction humor, Pastor Bob Service gave me this years ago, and it's kind of a joke, and if you remember Pastor Bob, of course, you know it's going to be funny, but it was entitled this, "You Might Be a Pastor If," and Don, I thought of you as I was reading a few of these. There's 19 on here, and I won't read all of them. You might be a pastor if you hesitate to tell people what you do for a living. Yes. And you might think, I can't believe you guys. It's a true thing, because you don't know how people are going to respond sometimes. Pastors, believe it or not, are not always highly thought of in different circles. And sometimes you hesitate, you pause. But you might be a pastor if you hesitate. You might be a pastor if you've ever dreamed you were preaching only to wake up and discover that you were. You might be a pastor if you've ever wondered why people couldn't die at more appropriate times. Now, I know that sounds awful. I know. I'm just being real with you because Pastor Don is real with you. So I'm just letting you know. I'm done apologizing. You might be a pastor if you find yourself counting people at sporting events. And I have done that, and I know you've done that. I know he's been in a Tigers game and thought to himself, man, wouldn't it be great to preach to 40,000 people? I've been there. I get it. So it's a true thing. Number five, you're leading the church into the 21st century, but you don't know what you're preaching on next Sunday. I know that's not true. A church picnic sometimes is no picnic. You might be a pastor if. And I'll end with this one. You might be a pastor if you've ever spoken for free and you were worth every penny of it. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This will be not specifically for PD, but I did have him in mind as I was preparing and reading through Scripture and what portion would the Lord have for us to look at this morning. And also there will be application for us, I pray. All right. I have a good portion of scripture. We're going to begin reading in verse 17. It's entitled in some Bibles, Paul Speaks to the Ephesian Elders. Verse 17 says this, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, and happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I do not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God.'" That was Paul talking about himself. Now, Paul has brought this group of pastors, this group of elders together, and this is what he says to them in verse 28. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." In verse 28, Paul looks at those elders and he says this, "Pay careful attention." And looking up what that means, it literally means this. It means to be alert, and it means to consider, to learn. So consider, look at something and pay attention to it. Try to understand it. Try to figure out. And Paul, the apostle, is preaching to elders, to pastors, and he says this. Pay attention, and he starts with this. Number one, with yourself. Pay attention to yourself. I brought statistics, and I wanted to share them by way of opener, and I needed to truncate this. And so I want you to know this, that the average lead pastor in American churches today last from 4 to 6 years. And I think that's high. The average associate pastor is anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And so pastors on average stay in one church for a little bit over 4 years, statistics tell us. Paul looks at these elders and he says, "I want you to pay careful attention to yourselves. Consider carefully yourself." 1 Timothy 4 in verse 7, the Bible says this. I'm going to cut that down. I'm going to read verse 16. "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. A servant of God can be so busy helping others that they neglect themselves and their own spiritual walk." Don, I know that's not the case, but I also know the challenges of being a pastor. I know what it's like to care for people and yet still sometimes have an empty soul or just dry bones and needing the touch of the Lord and needing to spend time with him. And Paul admonishes those elders. He says this, start by paying attention to yourself. God won't work through us until he's worked in us. That's a pastor's heart. And that's an apostle's heart who's also a pastor to these group. There was an American evangelist in the 19th century. His name was Charles Finney, and he used to preach from this verse that I just read in 1 Timothy 4, "Keep a close watch on yourself." And he titled his sermon, "Preacher, Save Thyself." And the idea being, before God works through us, as I've just said, he wants to work in us. As a good minister, we preach the word. As godly ministers, we practice the word. And as growing ministers, we progress in the Word. And that is what I have seen in my friend Don Jackson. There's a lot of things I've learned recently by listening to the series on the Holy Spirit. Number one, I found out that you can moonwalk while you preach, because he is a Jackson, after all. I love that. I was driving in my car, and I laughed out loud. That was very good. I also, you guys in the last several weeks have had Dr. Don, Professor Don, guest Pentecostal speaker Don. There's another one in there, Teacher Don. You've had all these different PDs as he's preached through the Word of God, and I love that about him, but one thing remains constant. Pay attention to yourself, and I know you do, and I know you will, but it's important as one who God has called to lead others in his grace. He also says this, pay careful attention to all the flock. You know as well as I do that that means the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And Jesus has already been lifted up this morning, but Jesus is the head of the church, and we are part of that body. And as a pastor, and he's been prayed over, and it's been mentioned already, he is to pay careful attention to the flock. Have you ever just sat and wondered about your pastor? I have sat and wondered about your pastor. How many things do you think are in his... Well, Julie will tell you none or one. But how many things do you think are in his mind? Just, hey, we can do this, or I can do that, or we could do this better, or we could reach out a little bit more here, or, man, I haven't seen that person in a little bit. I'm going to reach out to them, or there's a relationship that needs to be mended, and all these different things. And pastors, once we pay careful attention to ourselves, we are to care for the flock. The people. And the thing that I note that's interesting about that from this text is this. That's not something that we make up. I was hoping, Roger, that somebody was here when you guys called the Jacksons to come. I really was. Because in our text, this jumped off at me, and I don't even know that I've caught it before. And it's wonderful because it dovetails in with what you've been teaching on the Holy Spirit. The text, again, in verse 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. And then this jumped off the page at me, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. You gave the Holy Spirit. You gave God credit when Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 leapt into your mind and came out of your mouth. And Don needed to hear that, and God worked in those extra days. But this is of the Lord. Amen? I didn't know Oakwood previously, really, just barely, and I didn't know what you guys were going through, and I didn't know that there was a pastoral search in 14 and in 15. I didn't know those things, but I know that there were people behind the scenes, Roger and others, and many of you in these seats, and many of you not in these seats as you've come later, that were praying to God for the man of God to come and to lead the church, and to give him great dreams, and to give him vision, and to bring people together to connect and to see that dream come to fruition. But all of those things, I submit to you from Scripture, are of the Lord. This is of the Holy Spirit. So again, as a pastor to a pastor, one of the things that makes this so unique is it's like nothing else. Church work. I don't even know if that's a good phrase, but it is. You might not think we work, but never mind. Church work. It is an organization, but you've heard this. It really is an organism. What we have here together is a living, breathing thing that God has brought together. He's done it for his glory. He's done it for your edification. But he's done it, and he's chosen those in the body. And that is a unique thing. And so our metrics and the things and the ways that we measure things sometimes aren't the way that the world measures things. I was reading and preparing for this, and I happen to think I have a grading system for sermons. There's homers, there's triples, there's doubles, and there's singles. Now, the facts are that most pastors survive on singles, and that's not a knock. Singles are, they score runs still. Would you agree with me? You hit four singles in a row, and somebody's coming across the plate. Now, I happen to think that your pastor preaches a lot of homers and a lot of triples. But that's not the point. There are sometimes you just preach a single, and then there's another single, and there's another single. You're just faithful. You study the word, and God blesses, and God builds how he sees fit. But the work is of the Lord. And this is a unique thing. You're part of something unique this morning, and it's even more unique because you have a pastor that has stayed in one location for 10 years. I happen to think that's a really good picture of you, Don. I do. I walked in, I'm like, oh, what a handsome guy they have for a pastor. The Holy Spirit has made this man overseer. Overseer is one who serves the church and leads. In Titus 1:7, the Bible says, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. And I'm not concerned about the qualifications here. You guys did your vetting when you brought them in. But the Word of God says, an overseer as God's steward. That word steward is an older English word for our English word, manager. We might rankle at that a little bit, but he manages. As an overseer, the Word of God in Titus, one of the pastoral epistles, Paul is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says that the overseer is a steward, a manager, somebody, the person who leads the team. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, I want to remind us about Jesus. Paul writing, or Peter writing rather, says this, for what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. This is not a pastoral epistle. This is for all of us to think about. He committed no sin, speaking of Jesus. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. This is the verse that all of that set up, speaking of Jesus. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, capital S, and overseers of your souls. Don is the overseer of Oakwood Community Church, but Jesus is the chief overseer of Oakwood Community Church and over PD. PD, you certainly we need to pay prayerful attention to ourselves, but you don't need to put undue pressure on yourself for the success of this thing. Jesus is the overseer. This is his church, which our text tells us that he purchased with his own blood. Don, I don't know you well enough to know all your struggles and how you are uniquely equipped and put together. I do know that you're multi-talented and that you do have unique characteristics. I don't know if sometimes you sit and think, man, we're just blowing it in this area. We're just not successful in this area. I suspect you might. You don't need to shake your head or even make eye contact with me on that. But my point is this, that you pay attention to yourself and to the flock. Remember that the Holy Spirit has put you in this place to be the overseer, but Jesus is the ultimate overseer. And one of the reasons I think Oakwood is growing and is vibrant and has such a uniqueness to it is because Jesus is held up every Sunday, and we recognize him as our firm foundation. I will say this, as a friend of Don's, and I think I might have said this from this platform prior, but these are my true feelings. What I love about you is when I leave your presence, I'm almost always smiling. But that's not what I love about him. When I leave your presence, sincerely, Jesus has been made bigger in the time that I've spent with him. When I leave talking to Don, I almost always have a fresh perspective of the Lord. You don't make that up. You can't. That's Christ in you. And I love that. And I know you've experienced that as somebody that he has pastored. Family, don't you go thinking, well, since Jesus is my overseer, I don't need one that is a sinner and is not perfect. Although, from those qualifications you put together, I was expecting Jesus to be the pastor. That's from my pastor's perspective. I lean into my wife and I'm like, can't nobody live up to that? It's not even possible. But you're very close. I will just say this. Yes, you do. And I'm preaching to the choir. You're here and you recognize, hey, the church is important. But maybe I'll just dip my toe in a little bit and I won't go in all the way. And I won't sign up for somebody to be a manager or a helper in my life. Remember, the Holy Spirit puts overseers in positions of leadership in the church. My wife and I were just out a weekend or two ago, and we ran into an old friend, and he's a good man, but he said a statement to me that kind of helped me realize where he was at. He has a desire to pastor, but he made the statement that he wants to be in charge and he wants to call all the shots. And I didn't say anything to him, but it just popped. I mean, was, you know, my wife and I spoke to it a little bit later, but we recognized that, you know what, he's not ready. He desires that leadership. He desires that rule or that authority, and he's not quite ready for that. I appreciate Pastor Don's humility. In that text verse, again, the Word of God says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to care for the church of God. That literally, that word care literally means to guide and help to shepherd. The purpose for which the Holy Spirit placed elders, overseers in the flock was to shepherd the church of God. That word shepherd is a verb, and it means to tend, which encompasses shepherding as a task. It means leading. It means corralling. It means feeding. It means guarding the sheep. The image of shepherding perfectly fits the Holy Spirit's purpose for the overseer. Don, you're being recognized today, number one, because you stayed in a place for 10 years, but number two, because you're an excellent shepherd. And there's a lot that goes into that. You know, it's not just preparing a message and coming up and preaching. It's not. Although I'm guessing, if I know Don, that's one of the favorite parts of what he does, but he's also such a people person. But it's all the meetings in the office or over coffee or driving in the truck or whatever it may be. We care for the church of God. And then finally it says this. It says, be alert, and that means watchful and vigilant. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As a pastor, we're to be alert. Everything that's happening in Christianity doesn't happen inside of the walls of this church. Everything that is given the name of Jesus doesn't happen willy-nilly in this place. Why? Because there are leaders who are watching, who are protecting, and are like, you know, I don't know, I'm not comfortable with that. It doesn't mean that what's going on is necessarily wrong. It just means that the people that God has placed in this place to steward and to be overseers and to shepherd aren't comfortable with that, and so it doesn't come in. That is part of what the pastor does, but that passage in Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your souls. You guys remember the Christian that was living in the floodplain of Louisiana, and the waters were rising, and the weather alert station came on and said, there's mass exodus in this area. We want you to leave the area. And that person thought to himself, no, I'm just going to stay with my house. And then an hour later, police showed up in a car and said, hey, listen, we're evacuating this area. We want you to leave. And the man thought to himself, no, I'm not going to leave just yet. And then
the floodwaters began to pour and roll over the seawall, and the water came up to the front door, and a guy came by in a canoe and said, "Hey, why don't you hop in my canoe, and I'll take you to rescue." And the guy said, no, I've prayed about this. I'm going to let the Lord save me." And you know, the water began to rise, and it continued to rise until he was in the second story window. And now police and rescue teams again and a motorboat came by and screamed into the window, "Hey, I want you to know that the water is going to continue to rise, that the dams have broken, and it's going to be massacre, and we don't want you to die. Get in the boat." And the man said, "No, I'm going to trust God. He's going to save me." Well, the waters continued to rise. The fellow went up to the roof of the house, and a helicopter from the police rescue dropped down that ladder, and a person dropped down on the ladder and said, "Hey, give me your hand and I'll pull you to rescue." And the man said, "Nope, I have faith in God and I'm going to let him rescue me." Well, you know what happened? The waters continued to rise, and the man drowned. He gets to heaven and he's talking to God and he says, "I thought you were going to save me." And the Lord said to the man, "I sent you a warning on TV. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. I sent you a helicopter. What more could I have done for you?" That is the opposite of watchfulness. That is the opposite of what, as a pastor, we do. Yes, we walk by faith. Yes, we go by faith. Yes, we lead by faith in the ultimate leader, Jesus Christ. But here Paul looks at those pastors, those elders, and he said this: be alert. You must be alert. I know your pastor is not asleep at the wheel. I'm going to read this from The Message in closing. I became a big fan of Eugene Peterson. And I know Tim Hawkins, he gives The Message Bible a hard time. And I like that. Makes me laugh. But Eugene Peterson was a Greek scholar, and he wrote this to his grandchildren. This is the text that I just read. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Now it's up to you. Be on your toes, both for yourselves and your congregation of sheep. The Holy Spirit has put you in charge of these people. God's people they are, to guard and protect them. God himself thought they were worth dying for." God is good, amen? Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you for this momentous occasion, 10 years. Father, we know statistically in our country that doesn't happen very often. We praise you for your faithfulness, to bring the right team to this church, for your faithfulness in working in the hearts of the team that invited PD and his family to come and to lead here. Father, I ask for many more years of your faithfulness here. I ask that you will continue to bless Oakwood Community Church, that Jesus will be lifted up, that people will come to him as their Savior, that they will grow in this place, and Father, that you will be glorified through it all. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank Wally. Hello. Check, check, check. 1, 2. It's on. Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Does that work? Check, check, check. 1, 2. That works. You don't want that. Just want to thank you, Wally, for opening the word for us today. And, you know, just the good challenge from the word, specifically to PD. But there's much that we can take away from this, too, because as believers, we're always to be on the alert. We're to be making sure that we're a good, healthy part of the family of God. And that helps our pastors serve and do what they need to do when you do what you're supposed to do as flock, as part of the family of God. And we're just so thankful for you, PD, and for your leadership. And we're thankful for Julie and all that you do, because I think there's many times that you are behind the scenes encouraging him and helping him and holding his hands up because of things that we might do. You know, and so I'm just super appreciative for both of you. There is a banner out in the foyer, and there's sticky notes, and There's just an opportunity for you to write just a couple of things. You know, you probably haven't premeditated that, but there might be some things that come to your mind. Some things that I really appreciate PD about is that he preaches the Bible. And there are many people that come to Oakwood, and they come here and they're shocked just from the word that God uses, the word of God from PD's lips, to share truth from the Bible. And that's what every pastor should be doing, but there's a lot today that aren't doing that. And I'm appreciative that PD speaks the word. And within that, PD, I'm appreciative that you also share the gospel. There's many people's lives that have been changed because of hearing the gospel taught and interweaved as he's teaching the word of God, and I'm so thankful for that. I see that every day. I'm also thankful for your vision that you have for our church and just the desire to constantly think of new ideas and new opportunities of how we as a church can reach people for Christ, or how we can grow people within the body of Christ. I'm so thankful for that. I'm also thankful for the way that you take care of people's needs. I've never seen a church. I've been in church all of my life, but I've never seen a church that so takes care of people's needs. And I think a lot of that comes from your leadership. And I appreciate your desire to meet people's needs, not just within our church, because we do that, but also people in our community. When you call and you say, hey, I have this person at work that really has this need. And many times we as Oakwood step up because of your giving. It gives us an opportunity through PD's leadership and through our elders' leadership to meet people's needs. And I'm so, so thankful for that. I'm going to close in prayer, but is there anything that you want to say?
I just want to thank the staff. Oakwood has a great staff here every day, and it's fun to work with them. And I appreciate them. I appreciate the elders giving a day like today. And that's, you only hope to live up to the words that, I got to sit through my own funeral today. That was weird. And the only person I heard that said no while you were preaching was my wife. When you said that I met all the, and she's like, no. But, you know, I appreciate you as a church. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. And it is an honor to serve you. And I pray that we're effective. That's our prayer, to be effective. So thank you for the generosity and the graciousness today. I appreciate it.
Julie's just trying to keep you humble.
She is. She does.
I want to close our time in prayer, and I ask PD, they want to sing this song again, but we'll do that as we're walking out. And so make sure you take an opportunity to write a sticky note. This celebration kind of continues, you know, so it's going to kind of keep going. But today we wanted to honor him because we knew that this was right around his 10th anniversary. But it's hard to have a picnic outside and stuff like that today. It would not have been a good day. So we will be, you know, looking for other opportunities where you can write a card and, you know, express your appreciation. But also just so thankful for even our elders, what they've done to be able to give them a gift, to be able to do what they want to do, and just so thankful. So let's praise the Lord. Dear Father, I just praise you, and I thank you for the church here at Oakwood and just the leadership that you've given us, and we ask that you would continue to be with PD and that you would just continue to use him in this place, and thank you for his faithfulness, Father, and just thank you for the word and just the Holy Spirit that works in our behalf, and we ask that you would just continue to help us to move forward and growing and walking in you, and we thank you, Lord, for the word that we've heard today. Help us to be alert. Help us to jump in and be part of the body. Just help PD as our leader and even our elders to be strong in what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
And thank you for Wally Rose. Wally, you nailed it. Great job.